I don't see nobody yet. Y'all ready?
Well, good evening and praise God for each of you who are on the call and those who will be joining us shortly. Let us know for those who are on that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together in the study of God's word. Here it is, the 16th day of October, and we praise God for his keeping power and for him sustaining us up to this point in this day. And we understand clearly that this is the day that he's made, and so we will rejoice and be glad in it. In spite of, we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give him praise. And so let us know you're getting a clear signal for those of you who are just joining us. And we praise God for each of you as we prepare for tonight. We're going to be in the 22nd chapter and the 23rd chapters tonight of 2 Chronicles. There are only about 12 verses in that 22nd chapter, and we'll delve into the 23rd chapter to see how much of that we can cover tonight. And even as we're preparing, let's go to God in prayer, and we hope that you will join us. If you haven't already read these verses, we hope that you have. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives and your Spirit's abiding presence. We bless you and we honor you, and we yet give you praise. We pray now to the Lord that you will steady our minds and our spirits, and you will settle us that we might hear what you are saying to us through this word. Even though it might appear to be ancient words on a piece of paper, we pray that you will make it relevant for our situations and our circumstances even today. God, we need to hear from you tonight. We know that just as a result of us gathering together tonight, that our faith will increase. And so we thank you for that and we bless you. Thank you for continuing to supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Now, God, as we could go into this study tonight, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, you're going to move us through the first part of this study tonight and just kind of give us some highlights of this weekend that we had, starting probably with, what did we go, Friday and
yes.
Saturday and yes. Sunday. It was a full weekend. And so just share with us a little bit about a recap, if you will, of the experience that we had this weekend at ATOP, past weekend.
Well, on Friday night, of course, we had our luminary walk for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And at ATOP, we celebrate or we honor or we remember people who are struggling with all types of cancer, not just breast cancer. Cancer is a devastating disease. And at ATOP, we do the luminary walk and raise money for the American Cancer Society. And so we had a wonderful time on Friday night as we walked around the church and the luminary bags lit a pathway around the church. The weather held up for us. The rain stayed away. And so we thank God for that. And then on Saturday, we had our ministers meeting, our ministry leaders meeting, and also new members class. And it was a powerful time in the Lord, I tell you. And so we had a great time. Lots of learning took place. And so I think everybody enjoyed themselves and learned a lot. And then on Sunday, of course, is our regular service. And we had a wonderful time in the Lord as you preached a sermon called Declaring It Over, which focused on my victory, amen, and my struggle with breast cancer. And you told the story of how we went through that trying time together and how as a family and as a couple, with God's help, we were able to overcome. And then after the sermon, we went outside and we had a balloon release that was very touching. And the wind was just right. Took those balloons up in the air and off they went. So we just thank God for all of the activities of this weekend.
Okay. Any particular words that you picked up from the sermon this past Sunday as we shared from declaring it over?
Well, you know, I was kind of going back and forth on Sunday. We started with our new director of our youth and children's ministry, Reverend Travis Griffin Sr., Minister Travis Griffin Sr. And so I went over to make sure the kids were in place and everything was set up. And so I came back and forth, but I did hear a little bit. And you came from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And that's a very familiar passage of scripture for many of us, where it talks about the substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And you had several points that we have to come to terms with your faith. We have to exercise our faith and don't wait until the battle is over to shout. And so I think I missed the first couple of points of your sermon and came in near the end, but I'm ready to shout. I was on the shouting part. So, but one thing I heard you say was the assurance of things hoped for is that we have to trust God for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so that we walk by faith and not by sight, and that faith is designed to serve the believer. So those are a couple of nuggets that I wrote down from Sunday.
Okay. And I think that the essence of the sermon was dealing with our faith and how we need to allow that to be exercised. The Bible tells us that faith, of course, without works is dead. And many times we believe God for something to happen, but we don't step out to make a move. Mm. And the enemy wants to really keep us in a stagnant place where we are doubting and where we are suspect about what he can do. But just as he did in days of old, he still is able to do that for us. And we had your story as really the focal point, and how that, as you've already indicated, was indeed a trying time for us. Even though the odds were stacked against us, we had enough faith early on in our ministry to believe that God was a healer, mm-hmm. and that all power was in his hands. And here it is some 28 years later, God is still keeping us. And so we praise God for also the testimony of Dr. Quali Seymour in her prayer, how she talked about it hadn't been 28 years for her, but I believe she said two. And there are countless others who heard the message and who were able to affirm in their spirit that God will indeed make a way. An interesting thing, Lady Kim, about those who did not make it through, if you will, and they were yet believers. And God has a way of healing in different ways. Many times he can heal us through death. And many times he can heal us in the midst of our situation, so that our witness can be of such that others will come to a closer relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And then there are times when God has to ready us for what he's trying to do in us. And many times we're not prepared for it. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so God has a way of renewing our strength through the process of waiting. And he said, we shall mount up on wings as eagles and run and not get weary. We shall walk and not faint. But many times we don't want to wait on God to do what he said he would do. And so we get anxious. And so it's very easy for us to get upset and sometimes want to go back because we don't see what God has said he would do. We don't see it manifest in our situation in our time. But we know that God is indeed an on-time God. He may not come when you want him to, but I know we have some witnesses out there tonight who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's always right on time. And so if God, you know, any way you bless me, Lord, I think that's what Vanessa Bell Armstrong would say, I'll be satisfied. And so if we're in proper relationship with him and we know that he's got us, then we have to accept God's will for our lives. And we have to understand that he doesn't make a mistake. He's got our best interests at heart. And there is no secret to what our God can do, what he's done for others, he will do for you. So there might be people even on the call tonight, Lady Kim, who are perhaps in a time of still trying to figure out God's next move, but his ways are not our ways. His thoughts far exceed our thoughts, but we have to trust him even when we can't trace him. That was part of what I said on yesterday. And so even if God doesn't come when you think he ought to come, know that God is doing something on your behalf, and he hadn't forsaken you, nor has he forgotten about you. But his promises are sure, and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And so some people are probably still, whenever we get to this time of the year, we start reflecting on those who lost their lives to cancers, various forms of cancer. And it's still a sour place in our hearts and in our spirits. But God will give us the capacity, if you will, not to let it go, but just for us to be, for us to embrace his purpose for our lives and understand that he's still yet doing something. And the memory of those who have gone on to be with him, that's courage and that's strength for us to let us know that we've got to trust him just like they did. Amen. And even if something does happen and we don't make it all the way through when we think we ought to make it through, we know that God has our back and that he's promised that he would provide for our every need.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So the whole essence of that was dealing with faith. And then we have to decree some things, Lady Kim, and we have to go ahead and declare some things in our lives, because many of us, we probably have wished some things were over, but we have to exercise our faith in such a way where we declare that it's over. Yeah. And we believe that God is going to give us the power that we need in order to overcome whatever it is that's trying to keep us in our pain, the pain of our past, and keep us held hostage to the things that we were not able to really deal with, or the things that we were not able to really come to grips with in terms of the decisions that were made and what God did in the lives of those who have gone before us. But we have to trust him even when we can't trace him, and we can't wait till the battle is over. We have to go ahead and give him a shout now. So that's what happened with our situation. We trusted him. We believed him. We grew stronger as a result of that. And we didn't wait until we had some negative reports. We had people doubting. We even had a doctor who was not a Christian or a believer. And I was really turned off by that. It seemed almost like it was yesterday when we were in that office and he was talking all crazy. But nobody but God can make a way out of no way.
Hallelujah.
And so we thank God for 28 years of breast cancer survival, for survival. And we praise God for how he's yet continuing to heal, deliver, and set free, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. I'm preaching a little bit better than y'all saying amen. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
And so that's what you got to believe. That's what you've got to accept. That's what you've got to embrace. That's what you've got to go to bed knowing, even if you don't wake up in the morning, that God's got you.
Amen.
And so we give God all of the praise.
All the praise.
And go ahead and declare it over, that broken relationship. Declare it over.
Yes.
That financial difficulty in your life, go ahead and declare it over.
Yes.
That ruptured situation spiritually that you ran into and you didn't know how you were going to make it out of. But you're still holding on to it. Go ahead and declare that
over
and watch God give you something powerful as a result of your faith, and watch God do a new thing in your life. So we praise God for declaring it over even now in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, we got quite a bit of ground to cover tonight. And this 22nd chapter, it really kind of lends itself to how leaders sometimes serve, the importance of leaders serving the people and their purpose. And I think this new king who has come on the scene now, we see that he is yet following the corrupt way and not following the godly path. And as a result, he found himself in a situation where he was pursuing power of the world, and he was self-centered And many times, I think, even as believers today, the Bible is clear where we ought not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because what we see in the world is not always what God would have us to have as it becomes relevant to our success and our well-being in terms of what he has for us.
Amen. And you know, when you said that about that king, you know, or the leadership, our leadership has to be careful, because that reminded me of some recent leadership that we've had here in the United States. But just like you said, we have to be careful with how we lead and how we take the lead. So would you like me to begin reading tonight?
Yes, you can go ahead and read those 12 verses, and we can comment on them, and then see how much of the 23rd chapter we can cover tonight.
All right. 2 Chronicles 22, beginning with the first verse. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. For his mother's name was Athaliah, the grandmother of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Abba, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. Therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. For they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. He also followed their advice and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which he had received at Ramoth when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. His going to Joram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. For he had arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it happened when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab and found the prince of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah, brothers who served Ahaziah, that he killed them. Then he searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him, because they said, "He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him in the nurse, put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth and the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoshadah, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid from Athaliah, so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land.
All right. That's a lot of A's in there.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of names.
A lot of names. But one of the things that's clear in this whole passage, we see that corruption is still ever present in the lives of those who are seeking power for themselves. And we find out also in this particular chapter that these leaders were pursuing power rather than love.
Amen.
And so we had mentioned earlier that it's important for leaders to serve their people and their purpose. But somewhere along the way, this son, what was his name?
Ahaziah.
Mm-hmm. He was the youngest son of the king. That was the one that did not get killed when his brothers were killed.
Right.
And he became king, but we find that it was his, was that his grandmother? Or his mother was the one who really was more power hungry and power thirsty even after her son had passed, that she even became corrupt and evil and started to kill all of the grandsons and all of those who were perhaps in the lineage. And one of the things I found out about this, Lady Kim, is that this was a power struggle to cut off the reign of the promise that God had made through the house of David. And so she was trying to destroy that lineage, but God had other plans in mind. And when he makes a promise, he wants to fulfill that promise. And so we find a lot of corruption that's happening here, and she was not able to prevail as well.
Amen. Amen. And it, you know, like you said, she was said she was wicked, and she counseled her son to be wicked, to rule wickedly as well. So as a result, you know, her name was Athaliah. She brought her influence to bear upon her son and made him more of a son than Ahab and Jezebel, than a son of David and his godly descendants. So that means that she accepted him rather than his sons, and because she knew she was going to cut them off and gain that power.
And she was in a, really in an attempt to try to cut off the lineage that God had already promised to David. That was not going to happen as a result of what we see coming up here in the 23rd chapter, how even though she was not able, she reigned for over the land
and 6 years, I think.
6 years, and her son reigned for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he became sick as well. He was wounded in battle and was not really able to recover. And they buried him, and she stepped right up, you know. And this is one of the first times we see where a woman is really reigning in Judah, mm-hmm. as we have studied through Second Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. And it was unusual for women to be in control, but she took power after he died.
Yeah, and so that's why she was really ruthless in terms of murdering her grandsons and the sons of her, well, her grandsons, and those who would perhaps take on the lineage even after she was gone. But that did not prevail as well.
Right. Amen.
All right. So do we have any message that we would like to leave in terms of a thought for this particular chapter as it relates to this corruption that is happening here in this 22nd chapter?
Yeah, one of the things that was brought out was that Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, she took Joash, the son of Azariah, and hid him with his nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And that that protected the lineage of David, because one of the sons was still alive. And so she hid him from Athaliah when Athaliah killed all the others. And so, like you said, it took courage for this little unknown woman to play such an important place in God's plan for the ages. Through her courage and her ingenuity, she preserved the royal line of David, through which the Messiah would come. And evil people like Athaliah will begin their work, but God can always raise up a Jehoshaphat.
Okay. And so that's back to what we said earlier. You know, even though she thought that she was going to destroy the promise that God had established with the house of David, Joash is now coming on the scene, and he is of the lineage that will continue to carry the tradition. I think one of the lessons we can learn from this 22nd chapter is to accept godly help whenever it's needed. And many times we get to a place where we think we can make it all by ourselves and that we have all of the answers, but we have to be wise in terms of accepting that godly help whenever it's needed.
Amen.
All right, let's try to go ahead and move into this 23rd chapter, unless you have something else you want to share there, Lady Kim, from the 22nd chapter. This 23rd chapter, really, we see the crowning of Joash as the new king, and he's starting to reign now. And this is going to be an interesting time, because he was hidden, as you said, and God has a way of making sure that he continues to allow what he said he would do to come to pass. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we see corruption and things happening all around us where it looks like God is not going to be able to fulfill his promise in our lives and in our situations. But God is, if God said he would do a thing, it shall come to pass. In Philippians, it says, he who has begun a good work in you is able to bring it to a flourishing finish. So I just wanted to share that for somebody out there who perhaps seeing decay and seeing destruction all around them. And it looks like what God promised you is not going to come to pass.
Amen.
But it shall come to pass.
It will.
And you trust God. Sometimes God has to hide something so that you can get what he wants you to have in the long run.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, we want to go ahead and pick it up in the first verse of the 23rd chapter. Do we have any comments there or any remarks from anybody?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay. So the 23rd chapter, there are about 21 verses here. Are you ready to begin reading, Lady
Kim? Yes, where's a good place to start?
Well, there are 21 verses, so let's read the first, 11 verses?
Okay. All right. The 2 Chronicles, the 23rd chapter. In the 7th year of Jehoshadah strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. Azariah, the son of Jehoram, Ishmael, the son of Jehothan, Azariah, the son of Obed, Manasseh, the son of Adonai, and Elishaphat, the son of Zechariah. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said to them, behold, the king's sons shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. This is what you shall do. 1/3 of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and the Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors. 1/3 shall be at the king's house. 1/3 at the gate of the foundation. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priest and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapon in his hand. And whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada, the priest, commanded. And each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty on the Sabbath. For Jehoiada, the priest, had not dismissed the divisions. And Jehoiada, the priest, gave to the captains of hundreds the spears and the large and small shields which had belonged to King David that were in the temple of God. And he set all the people, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and by the temple, all around the king. And they brought out the king's son, put a crown on him, and gave the testimony, and made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, long live the king.
Okay. So we see the transition beginning to take shape here. And we see how it's obvious in this particular passage that the king's son shall reign, as it says in verse number 3. Behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. And so, and even though this mother was trying to, what was her name?
Athaliah.
Yeah, was trying to prevent that from occurring. We're going to see her demise coming to pass here next. And see how God yet prevailed in making sure that he kept a clear lineage to what he had promised David.
Amen.
And so that's so powerful for me, Reverend, because God has, many of us are existing even today because of the promises that God made with our parents and our grandparents about our existence even before we got to where we are. And sometimes we get so high-minded till we think that we made it all by ourselves.
Amen.
But all of us have made it on the wings of somebody else's prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody prayed for you. Somebody called your name. And you might not even know who it was. I had a praying aunt that would always pray. And I had a praying mother and a praying father. And we don't know the extent of their prayers.
Amen.
But I just believe that they were praying that God would give us double portion and anointing and a wherewithal to exceed what they had accomplished. And so many times we are doing things and it's because other people prayed us to where we are. And so
Amen.
We have to be mindful of that, because if God made a covenant with your parents or with that godly person, it could have been a grandmother or a grandfather that was praying, and you may have not even been born. And if God made covenant promise with them, it's coming to pass in the success that you're having spiritually even today.
Amen. And we don't even realize those prior prayers and how those prior prayers are bringing us through. You know, those prayers that we never knew that our foreparents and our grandparents and parents were praying for us, praying us through.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
All right. Well, you read the first 11 verses, and they are getting ready now to, they are preparing to anoint. They have anointed Joash as the king. And then if we move into these latter few verses, starting at verse number 12, we'll see how the demise of the king will,
Athaliah. Yes.
Will come to pass.
Amen. A lot of A words today, huh? All right. The 12th verse of the 23rd chapter. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord When she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing, blowing trumpets. Also the singers and musical instruments and those who led in praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, "Treason, treason." And Jehoshadah, the priest, brought out the captains of hundreds who were set over the army and said to them, "Take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not kill her in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and she went by the way of the entrance of the horse gate into the king's house, and they killed her there. Then Jehoshadiah made a covenant between himself and the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. So Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priest, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Then he took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord. And they went through the upper gates to the king's house, set the king on the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword.
All right. So we see her demise coming to pass, Athaliah, and how she was power hungry and power thirsty. But little did she know that her reign was going to be short-lived, and how God's covenant would be ever present in terms of what he had said he would do, even when you go all the way back to David, where he made that covenant with. And as a result, we see Joash taking on the reign. And in that 24th chapter, we're going to see how he begins to repair a lot of the things that were displaced. But they started with tearing down all of these idol worshipers and killing the this priest that was Baal. They said they went into the temple of Baal and tore it down. And they also killed the priest of Baal that was reigning in that particular temple, and tore all the idols and everything down, and unified the people and reminded them of the law of Moses. And the Bible says they were rejoicing and they were singing because of the fact that the covenant had been reestablished.
Amen. And isn't it interesting that they'll have one king that does right and builds up the worship, the temple for God, and all of the worship things and does things right. Then the next two or three kings come along and just do just the opposite, and be evil and set up idol gods. And, you know, they just keep going around in a circle, around and around. Now we're going to come back to another good king, that where they tore down all the idols, and now that, and they killed all the priests who, you know, were in there protecting those idols. And now they are ready to worship the true and living God.
Mm-hmm. And so God has a way of getting his plan accomplished. Mm-hmm. And many times it might look like it's a dead end, but God can step in and turn that situation around. And I think that's the relevant word for us even tonight, that even when we are faced with seeing in the natural something that's contrary to what God has given us in the spirit. We have to continue to trust God in the midst of that and know that he will overcome and he will prevail.
Amen. So one of the things that we can really take away from this tonight is that we need to help each other, because we never know when we may need help and when we may need to be restored. Knowing that even jealous family members will seek revenge and will receive their consequences. So Jehoiada gathered the Levites and anointed the king's son as king, and Athaliah was killed, and the people tore down the temple of Baal. Mm-hmm. So that kind of summarizes what happened in that 23rd chapter.
Okay. All right. Well, part of it was Athaliah was, as we already indicated, pursuing power rather than love. And God will let you go on for a minute, but eventually it's going to come to pass in terms of him fulfilling the assignment that he has. And even though she may have, she set the wrong example, but we can look back over her missteps and her mistakes to help us know that, as you've already indicated, we got to help each other in order to accomplish God's purposes. Because you never know when the person that you are helping, or and you're not trying to help them to gain any kind of favoritism or anything like that, but you never know when that person might be the one that will help you mm-hmm. finish accomplishing what God has assigned for your hands to do.
And it's strange that it's the least likely person.
That's right.
That usually helps you in a time of need. You know, you sometimes when we're in need of something, we're looking for the person who has the most money or has the most power or has the most position. But it's the least likely person that God will use to help move you from where you are to where you need to be.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I can't call her name now, at Jeffries. And we used to take her home sometimes, stayed in the projects, and we would, and she would always have a word of wisdom that she would share with us. And, you know, you from looking at her, you would probably think that she didn't have anything in terms of, you know, money or anything of value to offer. But her wisdom and her knowledge and just those little nuggets she would drop. I think she told you something about making sure that you accept what people want to give you, you know, in terms of an offering and not you know, refuse it. Miss mm-hmm. Turner, that's her name. Odessa Turner. You remember Miss Odessa?
Mm-hmm.
And how she would sit quietly and how she would really just soak everything in. And, you know, it's interesting, Lady Kim, because even back then, we were not as mature as we are now, and we were not I guess, you know, fine-tuned in terms of understanding scripture. But she sat there and she absorbed all of that and did not discourage us, but always spoke a kind word and always had something positive to share. Would drop a peppermint in your hand and give you one of them crinkled dollars, you know. But she was so full of wisdom and so full of wealth that she would deposit in your spirit.
Amen.
And some of those memories still linger when you start thinking about, you know, how it's important, just as she helped us back then and no doubt was praying for us. And even when we were at New Bethel, you know, the people was putting up with us because we didn't know what we were doing. And I mean, somebody had to know that we were running off the cuff, you know, with a lot of things that we were doing back then. But they were patient. They were willing to help and assist. And so it is with us, even though we run into people that have not fully made the complete transition when it comes to maturing in the things of God. we ought not give up on them. And God has a way of showing you the potential in somebody else. And if you are viewing and trusting God to reveal things to you, then he will show you that potential long before they get to where they're supposed to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I praise God for the spirit of Sister Odessa Turner. And I'm not good with names, and that thing jumped right in my spirit.
Yes. She said one thing. I think I don't remember what we were doing at church, but raising money for something or asking money. And she told me, she said, now, First Lady, don't ask people to do nothing that you ain't willing to do yourself.
That's right.
So she was saying, in essence, if we're asking everybody to give $100, we need to give at least $100,
right.
if not
That's
more.
Right.
So don't ask people to do what you're not willing to do yourself. Amen.
And that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because people are looking, people are observing, people are watching, even when you don't think they are. Somebody's watching you know. And so we have to make sure that our behavior match our belief, and that even if we are not all the way there yet, know that God, if he's placed a call on our lives, given us a charge in terms of an assignment or whatever it might be, then we have to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to decree some things and declare some things over.
Amen.
So that we can move forward into the things of God.
Amen. That's right.
Any comments there, Lady Kim? We're getting a little early. I know you didn't think we were going to be able to tackle that 23rd chapter. I can tell how you gave me that little Chicago cross eye when I said that. But.
Dr. Olu said, yes, I say rejecting a love gift is withholding the giver's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It is.
Yeah.
With someone. And, you know, I used to do that. Of course, when I was young in the faith, you know, you would see these elderly people and, you know, they didn't have much, and they would try to put, you know, $5 or $10 in your hand. And you would say, no, you know, don't do that. You need. And that's another one of those Odessa Turner moves. You know, she said, you don't ever reject the blessing that someone is trying to give. You never reject that.
Yeah, because you're blocking their blessing.
Yes, because mm-hmm. blocking their blessing. So,
thinking about Miss Jimmy, you know.
Oh, yeah, we knew Miss Jimmy. We had those Jimmy dollars.
That's right. And
Miss Jimmy, every Sunday, Miss Jimmy would have a pocket pack of Kleenex with a dollar folded up on top of it and a peppermint. A starlight mint, and we wrapped in a rubber band, and she would put it in your hand.
That's right. That's right.
And I would take those dollars and throw them down in my purse, and I tell you, I'd get in the store and be fumbling around. I'd need some more change and look in the bottom of my purse, and I'd whip out, and we used to call them Jimmy dollars.
That's
Here's
right.
a Jimmy dollar. You know, so Miss Jimmy was another saint that, you know, she didn't have much, but what she had, she gave. And I know she was blessed as a result.
That's right. That's
and we
right.
knew lots of people like that.
That's
you know,
right.
they didn't have much, but they gave what they had with sincerity and love.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, any prayer requests coming through, Lady Kim? We're getting ready to wrap it up tonight. And we certainly praise God for each of you who have gone through this 22nd and 23rd chapter of Second Chronicles with us, and we see a shift that is happening here. And Joash on the 24th chapter, well, he's already become king, and now he's getting ready to move in such a way where he's bringing repair to the temple and restoring the people back to the covenant that God had established with David, and how the lineage is continuing to gain force and momentum as he prepares to take over the leadership of the people of Judah.
Amen. Amen. Well, I don't see any prayer requests coming on the feed yet, but we do have several bereavements that we need to lift up. We have Sister Jessie Bradley and the loss of her sister. And that funeral is this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock at Center Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. So we want to lift up Sister Jessie Bradley and her family. We also have Sister Linda Porter in the loss of her sister, Mildred Carpenter. That funeral was on today. And so continue to lift her up in your prayers. And also, Sister Theron C. had a loss of an uncle and an aunt, both in Chicago. And she's going to send me those names and that information a little later on. Dr. Qualis is asking prayer for Ronald Waddington, her cousin. He's preparing to have hip surgery on Wednesday. And Sister Alicia asked prayers for Sister Lurleen Goodlow for her strength.
Okay.
And so we will lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow.
Okay. You mind going ahead and closing us out then with a word of prayer, Lady Kim?
Okay. God, we thank you on tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We magnify you. We glorify you, God, for this opportunity that you have given us. God, we lift up those who have asked for prayer on tonight, God. We pray for Ronald Waddington and as he prepares for hip surgery on this Wednesday. God, we lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow. We ask that you would strengthen her right now where she's weak and build her up where she's torn down. We lift up all of our bereaved families to you, God. We lift up Sister Theron C. in the loss of that aunt and uncle. We lift up Sister Jessie Bradley in the loss of that sister. We lift up Brother Travis Cooper in the loss of his son. We lift up Sister Linda Porter in the loss of her sister. And we ask, God, that you would continue to walk with them and be with them and comfort them and guide them, God, even in their darkest hours, God. We know that you are there. You said in your word that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So we thank you for the joy right now that you have in store for those who weep and mourn. And God, we just pray right now for Israel. We pray for Palestine, God. We know, oh God, that Hamas has unleashed a fury on Israel, and Israel is retaliating. But there are some innocent people, some innocent Palestinians, God, who are caught in the middle, God. And so we pray, oh God, for peace in Israel. We pray, oh God, for a resolution to this decades, the millennial conflict, God, over in the Middle East. We ask that your peace reign, oh God, and not the bombs to rain. We ask that your peace to reign and not the bullets to rain. We ask your peace to reign and not the fighting to reign. We ask, oh God, that your hand of grace and mercy be over Israel and over Palestine, over that area, God. Bring them together, God. And then we ask for peace within our cities in the United States of America. We ask, oh God, that you would stay the hand of the enemy, God, the wicked people who devise to do wicked things. We ask that you would stay the hand of the murderer, God, the rapist and the terrorist, God. Stay the hand of the enemy, of the thief and the robber, oh God. We ask that you would stay the hand of the enemy over any evil intent that is running through the minds of wicked men and women. We thank you, oh God, that your hand of mercy and grace will reign over, shield, and protect us. We love you, God. We thank you, God, and we bless you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. And before we go on tonight, God, we ask a special blessing on Anointed Temple of Praise. We thank you for our pastor, God, and we ask that you would continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge and power, God, that he might lead your people in the way that you would have them to go. And we thank you, God. We bless you, God. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Monday. Bye-bye.